An Outcast Honored, Chapter 54. When you receive something special from someone, you kindly thank that man or woman, don't you? If a year later you should happen to meet them on the street, you immediately remember that you have received something from that man or woman, and you still are thankful. Who among you would have the courage to tease that man or woman so that he or she would become angry? You would not do that. You have too much honor for that. You would shame yourself and do not do it. But what you dare not do against a person, that you dare do against the Lord. We sin daily against God. Daily we provoke the Lord to wrath. Still, the Lord is so good to us. He doesn't give us a little, but He gives us everything that we need. He gives us clothing, food and drink, health and life. Daily He provides for us. Besides, the Lord also warns us against sin, and He gives us the Bible. Millions of children do not have the Bible. They never have heard of it. Why do we have God's Word and not they? Are we better? No, indeed not. How thankful we should be, but we are not. We are unthankful. We forget God and everything which He gives. The Israelites, too, were unthankful like that. The Lord had been so good to the children of Israel. He had delivered them out of Egypt. He had provided for them in the wilderness. He had helped them in the battles against the Canaanites. He had given them judges when they, because of their own sin, were in misery. These judges defeated their enemies so that they were free again. Several of these judges we already have discussed with you. In the previous chapter, you read of Gideon who delivered them from the Midianites. But Gideon had died. After his death, and there were two other judges, Tola and Jair. After their death, the Israelites again returned to their idols. The images were set up all over the land. The sacrifices which were brought to the heathen idols burned again. But the Lord, their own God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was shamefully forgotten. To Him they brought no sacrifices. We would almost say, how is that possible? How did they dare do that? They not only worshipped one idol, no, seven different idols were honored and worshipped by the Israelites. Is it any wonder that the Lord would not protect the Israelites anymore? Is it any wonder that the enemies invade their land? The Philistines and the Ammonites came at the same time and oppressed the children of Israel. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who lived on the other side of Jordan in the land of Sihon and Og, had to suffer most from the Ammonites. They became the slaves of the Ammonites. But the Ammonites also crossed Jordan and destroyed entire districts. Everything was stolen and ruined. The Israelites became poverty-stricken. This oppression lasted for 18 years. A long time, wasn't it? The Israelites didn't dare defend themselves. But at last they began to bend their knees before the Lord their God. They realized that they had been very wicked, and they say to the Lord, we have sinned against Thee, for we have forsaken thee and served other gods. But it seems as though the Lord would not listen to them any more. Listen to what the Lord says to them. I will not deliver you any more, for you will only forsake me again. Go and cry unto the gods whom you serve, and see if they will help you. Let the idols deliver you, but I will not do it again. That answer was righteous. The Israelites deserved that answer. Their actions were the cause for the Lord leaving them. But the Israelites kept on, and they continued to pray to God. Yes, and they knocked the images into pieces. They broke down the strange altars, and they began to worship the Lord only. And then the Lord helped them again and delivered them from their cruel enemies. Large barren lands called wildernesses lay to the south and east of the land of Canaan. We often read about them in the Bible. Abraham, who lived in Mesopotamia, had to travel through the wilderness to get into the land of Canaan. And the Israelites themselves roamed about in the wilderness for 40 years after they came out of Egypt. On the eastern border of the land of Canaan, over against the wilderness, lies the land of Tob. This part of the land lies near Syria, about which you will hear much more later. A band of men roamed about in this land of Tob. Little or nothing grew there, for that ground was unfruitful. How did these men get their food? Why are these men there? Listen, and I will tell you. Their leader is Jephthah. This Jephthah was driven away by his brethren and wasn't permitted to come home anymore. He could not come home to sleep upon his own bed. The brothers of Jephthah had disowned him, and they would have nothing to do with him. Why? What did Jephthah do? Alas, Jephthah didn't do anything, but Jephthah's father had more than one wife. Formerly, that happened more often, didn't it? Now, Jephthah was the son of one wife, and his brethren were children of another wife. They were half-brothers. These half-brothers would not tolerate Jephthah to be in their home, so they drove him out. Wasn't that cruel? Look, there he goes. He flees. Where must he go? He goes to the land of Tob and lives in seclusion. However, Jephthah was a man who feared the Lord. His brethren had disowned him, but the Lord did not disown him. No, the Lord had given him a new heart. Jephthah experienced much grief in his life. During his marriage life, he received a child, a girl. Surely he loved his daughter a great deal, don't you think so too? Jephthah did not remain all alone in the land of Tob. Oh no, men came to him. We read in the Bible that they were vain men. Undoubtedly, and they were men who had nothing, who had lost everything. He soon had a small army together of which he became the leader. With this little army, he went on plundering expeditions, and they lived off the spoil which they took. Now you may ask, was Jephthah permitted to do that? We may not plunder and steal, may we? Now you must be very attentive. He did not rob his own people, but he invaded the land of those who were enemies of his nation. Undoubtedly, the land of the Ammonites. In other words, he waged war against the enemies of his nation. But Jephthah wasn't the one to begin this. No, the Ammonites invaded the land of the Israelites and oppressed them. What Jephthah did was permissible because his nation was at war with the Ammonites. By so doing, Jephthah became an excellent general, an excellent captain. He learned how to fight there. One day, visitors came to Jephthah. Ah, he knows those people. They are the elders of Gilead, the place where his brethren live, and where he formerly lived. They came to ask him to be their captain in the coming battle against the Ammonites. Already for 18 years, they have been oppressed by these people. Jephthah looks at them in great astonishment and answers, "Why do you come to me? You hated me, you disowned me, and wouldn't have anything to do with me." The elders of Gilead blushed, for it was true what Jephthah said. They had aided Jephthah's brethren in driving him away. "Alas," they say, "forgive us. We have come to bring you back. You may return. Help us and lead us, for in this place you have learned to fight." "It is all very well," Jephthah answers, "but if the Lord gives me the victory over the Ammonites, will you, when the war is over, again drive me out of my country?" "No," they solemnly promise, "we will never drive you away again. You will remain our captain." When Jephthah hears this, he goes with them. Noble Jephthah, he doesn't seek revenge, although they had treated him so unkindly. The Israelites are gathered together, and Jephthah becomes their captain, their general. Jephthah decides to try to have the Ammonites leave the Israelite country of themselves. He sends a few messengers to the king of the Ammonites and asks for the real reason for the invasion of the land of the Israelites. The king of the Ammonites answers, "Because you live in my land." This is not true. Therefore, Jephthah sends messengers for the second time, saying, "No, king, you are mistaken. We have not taken your land, neither have we taken the land of the Moabites. We were not permitted to do that. The land in which we now live, we have conquered from Sihon, the king of the Amorites." But the king of the Ammonites will not listen. Jephthah is compelled to fight against the Ammonites. Before the battle begins, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt give me a complete victory, I will offer unto thee that which first comes to meet me from my house." Soon the battle begins, and the Ammonites take to flight. They are driven out of the land by Jephthah, and thousands are slain. Jephthah is very happy. Behold, he marches homeward at the head of his victorious army. He comes close to his home. Suddenly, he frightens, for his only child, his daughter, comes to meet her father to congratulate him on the splendid victory. Now, is that so bad? That shouldn't have caused him to frighten, should it? He should have been very happy to see her. Yes, but didn't Jephthah promise the Lord something? He must keep that promise too. He says, "My child, my daughter, I have promised the Lord that I would offer to him whatever first came to meet me out of my house if I should be victorious. The Lord gave me the victory. So the girl answers, my father, if you have promised that to the Lord, then you must keep your promise. It is good. Here I am. So did Jephthah sacrifice and burn his daughter? Why, no. The Lord strictly forbid that people ever should be sacrificed. He sanctified his daughter. He gave her to the Lord, which means that this girl never married. Undoubtedly, she was busy in the service of the Lord all the days of her life. Some think that she went to Shiloh, where the tabernacle stood, but of that we are not positive. Listen, such yelling, what is it? In our thoughts, we will go to the place where all this commotion is. Oh, look, thousands of people are fighting with each other, and not just for fun, they mean it. Again and again, soldiers fall to the ground. They are killed. Is there another war? Did the Ammonites return? No, not that. They are gone. But now it is something far worse. Jephthah must fight against his own people, against the men of the tribe of Ephraim. Why? Alas, the Ephraimites are jealous of Jephthah. They wanted to drive away the Ammonites and to receive the honor of the victory. That was not honest. Jephthah had asked them if they wanted to help defeat the enemy, but they did not come. Now they say to Jephthah, why didn't you call us? We will burn you and your house with fire. However, that was a lie. Jephthah had called them, but they hadn't come. The men of Ephraim remain angry, and Jephthah must defend himself. So, war broke out between the citizens of the same nation, between men of the same country. This was a civil war. Wasn't that dreadful? The Lord helped Jephthah. The men of Ephraim were miserably defeated. They had to flee. If they wanted to reach their own land, they first had to go over Jordan. However, the soldiers from the land of Gilead, the land where Jephthah lived, stood watch at this river. Whenever any fleeing Ephraimite came, the soldiers of Jephthah asked, art thou an Ephraimite? No, the fugitive would answer. Then say Shibboleth, was the request of Jephthah's soldiers. The Ephraimites could not say this. They said Sibboleth. They could not frame the word and pronounce the H. By that, the men of Jephthah knew that they were Ephraimites, and they were slain. In all, there were 42,000 Ephraimites killed. That was terrible. Very terrible, but it was their own fault, because they and not Jephthah began the fighting. This sad war was caused by jealousy. O children, how much misery has been caused by jealousy. Cain was jealous of Abel, and he slew him. Joseph's brethren were jealous of him, and they sold him into Egypt. The Ephraimites were jealous of Jephthah, and they are slain by the thousands. Are you ever jealous of your brother or sister? Do all kinds of evil and ugly thoughts enter your hearts, boys and girls? Then ask the Lord to please take away these evil thoughts, otherwise it becomes worse. Jephthah remained captain over the Israelites for the rest of his life. The men of Gilead kept their promise. Finally, Jephthah died. He also was a judge who defeated the enemies by faith, so he too can be called a champion of faith. After the death of Jephthah, there were three judges of which I only can give you the names. These judges were Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. Try to remember these names.